The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, October 9th, and week five is underway. This is one of the two signature shows for the CBS, for the Pick Six Podcast. We do the best bets. Some could say this is the signature show. One of my favorite shows to do. You learn a lot talking best bets with Pete Prisco. Oh, this is the White and Tan show. I forgot. Pete Prisco and RJ White and Kenny White. Fellas, what's going on, Pete?
I didn't have a winning week last week. But I won the bad week. 3-3-1.
You went 3-3-1. Kenny led the way 4-2-1. Kenny went back and started. I think you hammered a bunch of, you did, you either hammer a bunch of overs, you go, big dogs. I can't remember. Something you didn't
remember. I don't remember what I had for lunch.
Well, he had Baltimore, but so he got a win because our number was at 13. But by the time that game kicked off, he didn't get a win.
No, you know what? Because RJ and I talked about it after you left because we were recapping it. It was like all Kenny's picks were like road favorites and gigantic favorites. Like that is very not Kenny. No. But like you read it right, and it's a good call. 4-2-1, disaster struck. For myself and RJ, 1-4 for me. I took unders. What am I doing? Pete's telling me over, and I'm banging unders. And RJ, 1-6.
Terrible.
RJ, what's the matter?
Yeah, this happens once a year. You know, you just misread everything. So that's when you recalibrate, you know, challenge all your assumptions, go back to the data. And that's what I did. So I kind of moved some teams up that I had been hesitant to. I think for real, I moved some other teams down. So,
if I'm not mistaken, your only win was a teaser.
My only win was a teaser. Got to love those teasers.
By the way, shout out. I'm having a sip. It's recording this at 5 o'clock. You're listening on Friday. We record this 5 o'clock on a Thursday. It's time for a little. 5 o'clock somewhere, Pete. I'm having a Coastal Love Hazy IPA for my friends at Wicked Weed Brewing, who sent me a nice little care package. Podcast, one of the guys who sent us a podcast listener. Thank you, Wicked Weeds in Nashville. But you guys in Florida, I don't know about Vegas, but Florida, I think you can get Wicked Weeds. So check it out. Great stouts.
Well, why don't they send it to us then, too?
They knew that you don't like that frou-frou stuff.
No, I don't. Don't send it to me.
Overall records for the season, Pete, a scorching hot 16-7-1. I'm 13-7. Kenny, 9-6-1. RJ, 13-15. I'm not worried though, RJ.
You are RJ going. Will turn it around. We know he will. I expected myself to have RJ's week last week. I really did. I thought I was going totally rotten.
This is your year, Pete. We've been saying it. Pandemic, Pete.
2020. We should have seen this coming. Just tail.
I'm like a plague just in life. And so this is my year, right?
Pandemic Pete strikes again. All right. Let's start. We're actually going to go. We're starting a surprising spot, but we are going to start on Monday night. The Chargers at the Saints with an asterisk next to at Saints because it's possible this game could be moved to Indianapolis, depending on what happens with the hurricane, what's the name of it? Delta. They ran out of people names. So they're going to like code names now. Hurricane Delta.
Well, they've actually the fourth one. If you go A, B, C, D is the fourth one that they've had. But
they ran out a while ago.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
This is their second time through, Pete.
Yeah. No kidding.
Anyway,
Hurricane Delta. I'm just trying to be facts straight. Could move Chargers at Saints to Indianapolis, but
doesn't sound like it now though.
Okay, so it might like not have
going,
it. I don't know that.
Does
that
change, west.
Does that change the line
a little bit?
How much does that change the line? 2 points?
Not changing any.
Yeah,
not at all. Right.
It would probably drop to 7, I would say at least, but okay. But it's probably not going much further than that because we've seen home field hasn't been much of a factor so far this year. I think what was it last week? The road teams went. Kenny would know better than me because he cleaned up on those road teams, but they went like 12-4 or 11-4 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so Saints -7.5. The over under is 50. And Pete, it's a Chargers game. Gotta go. Gotta look to you because Justin Herbert is the starter for the rest of the season. Not that anybody's surprised, but he played well enough to steal the job from Tyrod Taylor and just punctured.
Yeah, if he had played crappy in any one of those games, really crappy, he wouldn't be the starter. But he's played well and he was really good last week, except for the late interception, the one where you sent me the text late in the game. But I think he's going to play well here too. I think the Saints defense stinks. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they're very good right now. And so I do think that they'll stay in the game. I think it's going to be a track meet. I think the Saints will score too. I think it's going to go up and down the field, a lot of points. But if you're going to give me that many points, just like last week, I was all over the Chargers. I'm going to stay on the Chargers, and I'm going to stay on the over.
I think the Saints offense is starting to come together. It's managed to be solid without Thomas, but it's getting better now. I think that you saw that the Saints defense is bad. I think that Chargers defense is starting to fall apart. Maybe the injuries are taking a toll. It seems like they lose a key player every week. Herbert's outperforming expectations for sure, but this is his first primetime game. And that's a big difference. You know, you're on national TV here. And I think that might change his preparation a little. You know, it's just something that he hasn't experienced so far as a pro. So we'll see how that goes. New Orleans, the efficiency numbers are better defensively than what our eye test. So it doesn't, they're failing the eye test for sure, but the numbers make me think that they might turn it around. I think they're going to win this game. I think the line's about right at 7.5. So I don't want to take it at 7.5. So we talked about I hit a teaser last week. That was the only thing I hit. I'm going to make the Saints part of my teaser, tease them down to 1.5. And I think that's a strong play with them. And we'll talk about my second leg here in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with the teaser for sure. And I'm on the Saints. I'm glad, RJ, you said about the efficiency numbers. I agree with that. They have not looked good on the eye test, but again, this team seems like it takes a couple weeks for them to get going. I guess, you know, Sean Payton's a slow starter. The offense did come together last week. It looks like they're going to get Thomas back, this week. And you mentioned the Chargers injuries. They keep losing key players. I now have their power rating on the defensive side below average. With a young guy like Herbert, now that he's been, it's always happens. It's like a college football team that gets into the top 25 for the first time ever. They lose that week. It's amazing. A guy now that like Herbert, he's now announced as the starting quarterback. It's bound for him to have a bad game. And you know, quarterbacks, it's so amazing. You could take a guy like Tom Brady and let's say Tom Brady in his prime and a guy like Justin Herbert, and he's a rookie, and 3 or 4 drives, you can't tell the difference. But then all of a sudden that rookie throws a pick six and the confidence level just drains out of that guy so fast. And he's never the same guy because once that negative sets in, it's so hard to rebound to be that good. But so 3 drives, you can look great. 3 games, you can look great. But all of a sudden, bad things start to happen. You lose confidence so fast, and you start to turn the football over. Your numbers start to come down. So Herbert's played well. He's played above average in 2 of his 3 games. The other game, he was average, and he's passed the eye test. But I'm telling you right now, there will be some games where this guy doesn't throw a touchdown and he throws 3 interceptions and his team really gets hurt and the defense isn't there to back him up anymore. So be careful with that team.
I think that Pete Prisco is going to get some texts from me on Monday night. That's what I think. Marshawn Lattimore back, a bunch of Saints players getting healthy.
He didn't play. He hasn't played well. He's played like crap, Marshawn Lattimore.
Well, he still helps him on the defensive side of the ball. I'm saying you're going to get Herbert texts from me. Herbert.
I've been getting him from you before the draft.
That's right.
So you'll be getting those to me in 5 years. You go tell me how right I was about
Herbert threw his 3rd pick. It's week 17, Pete. Look, I think the Saints, who are covering machine in October, game stretch of October games where they cover, Drew Brees is a monster covering in prime time. And you know who else he likes to cover against? The Chargers, who got rid of him They ditched him 3-0 straight up and 3-0 against the spread. Drew Brees is in his career against the Chargers. I think you get a little vengeance here. Likes to show him who, let's not forget, you might have your little quarterback now. I'm the quarterback you should have kept, and you screwed up by drafting Phillip Rivers. Or maybe not, depending on what you think about history. Anyway, moving on. I got the Saints as a best bet here. So we all have a best bet in this game, which is fun. And I think the Saints teaser is fantastic, but no consensus. Panthers at Falcons. Falcons are -2. They are winless. They have looked awful. Kenny, the over-under is 53.5. Will you go back to the Dan Quinn well here?
Yeah, you know, they're on their last leg right now. Yeah, they played a really good schedule. Seattle with Russell Wilson, Dallas, Chicago, you know, they're 3-1, the Bears are, and Green Bay. That's a really tough schedule. They finally get a break that they play somebody who's not a playoff team, who has some injuries on defense. And as a coach that Matt Rhule, he's done a decent job so far, but I still, you know, don't know. I'm not sold on him. I think the Falcons are in a good spot here. I think the price is cheap enough. I didn't make it that much higher than what the price is, but I made it 3.5, and crossing 0 or from 2.5 to 3.5 is about a 9% difference in win percentage. So yeah, I'm laying the points with the Falcons here.
Well, this opened at Falcons 3.5 and it's moved down. It's 1.5 at some spots. So, Kenny, what do you think the books are seeing there to move it like that?
Oh, they're getting money from wise guys, but it could also be dummy money moving it the wrong way to setting the lineup so that they can bet this back at bigger limits at a lower.
I'm curious on the dummy money thing to reverse lines and all that. I understand how it works, but I'm curious. Like, so let's say hypothetically you want to get $100,000 down on the Falcons -1. Right. Or the Falcons at anything under a field goal. What are you betting? Is it a matter? I think people would be curious to know, like, is there an amount you're betting? Is there somebody you're sending in to bet that's like a respected bettor? Like, how do you, what triggers that for the books to quickly shift it that way?
Syndicates are the only organizations that can do this. They're the only ones that can set up lines, unless you're betting at the earliest outs when the number comes out a week in advance, and that's such low limits. But the beginning of the week, they're probably getting down 5,000 a pop, and they want to move it. They want to move it from 3.5 down to 2.5. So it's going to take 10,000 to move it at each book. You got maybe 10 different books you're moving at. You bet $100,000. You're going to come back with a couple hundred thousand the other way, and you're setting yourself up for a nice middle. The game falls 3, you win both ways. So, you know, it's not just that you're not really wasting the money. You're setting yourself up for a better number. And Billy Walters, who's not betting right now, he was the best at it because he would buy half points or full points for pennies on the dollar. He would invest he would invest up to $250,000 the wrong way to bet $1 million the right way.
I thought he was back betting on that Rams game against the Cowboys in week 1.
I haven't heard. Maybe he was. I don't know. Maybe he was.
I think he's back. I think he's out of prison. He's hammering the Rams this year. Anyway, sorry, RJ, you were discussing.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be the sucker in this scenario because I'm going to keep hitting the Panthers, even though they're down to 2. I reset my power ratings. I really moved Carolina up. That young D seems like it's already coming together. They have a lot of talented pieces on that side. Did a great job against the Chargers and the Cardinals, two offenses that have otherwise been solid recently. You know, we talk about Herbert looking great in each of these games. Well, Carolina beat that team. So I think you have to give them credit for that. The Carolina offense is beating the Atlanta offense. They've got 6 yards per play versus 5.6 yards per play. So this has actually been a better offense on the whole. And the Carolina defense has actually been the better of the two. I mean, Atlanta's allowed 30 points in all 4 of their games. I know we talked about the competition, but Carolina's defense is outperforming Atlanta to me. I think Carolina overall is a better team right now, and there isn't much of a home field advantage. Road teams on the year, 34-28-1 against the spread. So road teams are covering more often than not. Atlanta is just 20-35 against the spread as a favorite under Dan Quinn. This team seems like it's ready to move on from him. He seems like dead man walking in there. So I like the Panthers here. I think they're really starting to come together. They're a team on the rise.
I'm on the other side. I'm taking the Falcons. I just think that desperation is a big factor in the NFL, and this is their season. Granted, they're probably not going to save it, but one victory could get them going, one loss, and they're done. So I think that, I mean, they're probably done, period, but I think this is one of those games where a team with a good quarterback will show up and fight and play, and yeah, they have a ton of injuries. I think the Panthers have overachieved. I just don't think they're going to play here. I think this is going to be the Falcons minus the 2 points.
I will say that I agree completely with the desperation thing and that I'm concerned about it. I mean, this is there are five games between now and Atlanta's week 10 bye, and they need to win four of those games if Dan Quinn wants to keep his job, because they need four and five. I think going to that bye, I think he keeps his job. 3-6. It's a maybe. 2-7. Adios, amigo. I mean, that's, and I think Arthur Blank is a friend of the podcast, would probably fire him during the bye because he has two former head coaches in Dirk Cutter, Raheem Morris on that staff. By the way, Atlanta since 2015, third worst cover percentage. Was that Pete?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Like,
No. You know me. I wouldn't raise my hand to interrupt you. Yeah, I just interrupt you. What are you talking about?
I thought you were like three. And I missed
that. Atlanta has pick me.
Atlanta has the third worst cover percentage in the NFL since Dan Quinn took over, 37-47. That's 44%. And in that same span, they are 20-35 as a favorite, covering 30%. 36% of the time. Atlanta has dominated Carolina in recent years, but this is a different Carolina team. And I don't think they're going to like go up top on Atlanta secondary because Teddy Bridgewater doesn't throw down the field. They got a nice floor on offense. They will score 20 to 30 points in this game, I think. And if the defensive line with your boy, Derek Brown, Pete, gets a push on that bad Atlanta offensive line, Matt Ryan could be in for trouble.
So, Etor Gross-Matos too. He's playing great.
Also, kind of concerning, and I think this is a red flag that not enough people are paying attention to with Atlanta. They are top five in the NFL in running the ball on first and second down. That is not how Dirk Cutter likes to call plays, and I think it's sort of evident in how that offense is operating.
Yeah. Well, they've had injuries at receiver, too.
Sure. I mean, they're down to – I mean, yeah, right, exactly. All right, moving on. Jaguars at Texans. The Texans are -6 over under 54.5, Pete.
This is the easiest pick on the board. It's not even close.
Yep.
The Jaguars are terrible on defense. They can't rush the passer. They get no push in the middle. The corners have played poorly. The safeties aren't any good. They're banged up. Now Hayden's out. They're going to play a bunch of kids back there. Deshaun Watson will throw for 400 in this game and maybe – four touchdowns. They are going to get lit up. Minshew will get some yards too because the Texans stink on defense. But I like both the Texans minus the points, and I think this is another one of those easy overs. Go way over the total.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen this. The coach gets fired, a new coach come in, and then the team that he gets fired from is 6-point favorites in their next game. It's just pretty incredible that a guy can be coaching so poorly, and yet his team is almost a touchdown favorite. I want to go Houston here. I think the players being rid of not great Bob, is which I have called them B.O.B., is a weight off their shoulders, and they're going to be play a lot better without him. That D has been terrible, though. I could definitely see Minshew coming in and lighting him up or going through the back door, so I'm a little worried on that. But I will back you on the over. I have a best bet of over 54.5 as well. These two defenses rank near the bottom in points per drive DVOA. They're allowing about 30 points per game each. Add that up at 60 points. I don't see why that's going to stop here because this defense isn't playing well.
And in one of those games, RJ, the Colts, they didn't punt.
Right.
They didn't punt that game.
Yeah, so this is a tailor-made over, especially with how the season goes. So unless this is the week that we've been talking about these officials, unless this is the week they decide to change their tune, I don't see how this game doesn't go over.
Yeah, the numbers on the holding penalties are about the same. They haven't gone up yet. So I don't know either when that's going to happen.
They're not. You're right on it. They like the product. Yeah. And by the way, Brady Quinn and I were talking about this, and I don't know if we talked about this on air or not, but I mentioned on our show, you know, DraftKings points and all that are very important.
Right.
Fantasy, you know, points. Who invest in DraftKings? Some of the early investors? A couple NFL owners. So it behooves them to have the DraftKings scoring. I don't think they're changing it, to your point.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think they like it. They want to protect their quarterbacks and they like the scoring. And again, it's sped the game up too.
Yeah.
Less flags, you know, they can get a nice product in 3 hours. But, my numbers are, you know, I'm going to go back and look at this. I don't like to be against you guys. And especially I don't want to go under in a game you guys like over, but my numbers, I made the game 51.5. So I wouldn't play it under, but you know what? I knew this game was on the schedule. I better write it down. I wrote down an under and I thought, you know what? New coach. Maybe they'll get really conservative and try to win this football game. They need to win it. Maybe the defense will play better. They're only an average defense, and so is Jacksonville. So I can understand your point for the over, the way they're going. So I'll just say I'm not going to bet it under, and I'll root for you guys to get it over.
I've got Texans in the over, too. I think Texans slaughter them here. And by the way, we should point out that if you're listening on Friday, that means the start of the week for our fantasy section is already released, Pete.
Yes.
Jamie Eisenberg is going with Deshaun Watson as the start of the week.
He didn't go with Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, well, you couldn't find the is he out getting beers with the Scarecrow and the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion?
Deshaun Watson? Talk about Moto. That's the Moto pick, the master of the obvious.
Maybe Alvin Kamara. Maybe who else are you going with there, Jamie? Come on, buddy. This is a shootout. Texans roll in this one, and Deshaun Watson's going to have that monster game where he is like, "Hey, look, by the way, coaching candidates, I'm awesome. Bill O'Brien was holding me back." Vikings at Seahawks. Seahawks -7, primetime Sunday night. Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson. What could go wrong? Over under 57.5, Kenny.
Oh my God. Yeah. What a total. And I made the total right around that. I'm right on the number. I think 55, I made it. So I have nothing on the total. But I'm going to take the 7. I love Russell Wilson. I've got him rated up in the top 3 quarterbacks in the NFL. And, it's just the defense. I have a low rating on the defense, and I think they continue to get outplayed. They just win games because Russell Wilson outscores their opponent. They give up 30 against New England, 31 against Dallas. Minnesota's offense is starting to come around, I think. And, they're going to get better each week. This is too good of a football team. There's too much talent on both sides of the ball for them to not play well. And, I think Gary Kubiak will get better each week with Cousins. So you're going to give me 7 with the more desperate team. Minnesota needs to win. They need to put a winning streak together. And this would be a nice spot for them to play well. So I'm taking the 7.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite side here. I worry about Seattle covering big numbers. That's just not in their DNA. They don't do it. But you know what else isn't in their DNA? Throwing the ball around. Like they're doing it right now. The reason they don't cover big numbers, they usually come out and run the ball, win these conservative games. That's not what we're seeing this year. This line dipped 2.5 points off the look ahead. And that's because Minnesota went and beat a team that fired their coach after a loss that played so poorly in that game. They decided it was time for a change. Like if you're losing to a team and then you fire your coach, got to tell you, that team you lost to, you don't think they're very good. And I don't think they're very good either. Minnesota's 30th in net yards per pass attempt. I think Russ is going to destroy that secondary with his weapons. Minnesota loves to run the ball. They're 32nd in pass attempts, despite their record. You think you're losing all these games, you'd want to throw the ball more. That's not what they do. They just keep on running the ball. But Seattle D is 3rd in yards per rush. So you try to do that against Seattle. That's the one thing their defense does well. So you're going to have to throw it to beat them. I don't know if they want to open the offense up. It just doesn't seem like what they want to do in Minnesota. So maybe if they throw it, they can stay close, but I'll have to see it before I believe it. I'm going to make Seahawks the best bet.
I'm on the other side. I almost made this one of my best bets, but I didn't. I like the Vikings, and it's hard to imagine me saying this, but I'm going to take Kirk Cousins in prime time. Not because I don't think he's any good. I just think that defense is terrible in Seattle. The Vikings aren't much better, so I'm probably leaning to the over a little bit as well. But I'm going to take the points here. I think Cook will be able to run the ball. They've shown the last couple of weeks they can do that. So I'm going to take the Vikings plus the 7. And I think it's going to be tight, but I think it's also going to be high scoring.
I think the Vikings defense might be worse than Seattle's. Is that crazy? Maybe so. Maybe not. You can throw outside on Minnesota. Their cornerbacks, Mike Zimmer's one of the all-time great defensive back / cornerback coaches in this league. But you can throw on their cornerbacks this year. And Lockett and DK Metcalf going nuts. Russell Wilson will throw it deep. And I just can't stop thinking back to that game last year. I bet big on Minnesota. They were plus 7. No, they were only like plus 2.5. Take that back. Sorry. They were plus 2.5 in Seattle in prime time. And they had a 7-point lead at halftime and they lost by 7. I mean, the Seahawks covered easily. I think it was like a backdoor attempt by Minnesota late. I just don't think I can bet against Russell Wilson in primetime anymore. And Kirk Cousins, if there's a guy you're going to bet against, I mean, Mike Zimmer didn't want him to throw 25 times. Give me the Seahawks to cover this and to win by a lot of points in this game. Cardinals at Jets. Kenny, the Cardinals are -7 here. Is that enough for you to say I'm going to lay it because the Jets are trash?
Yeah, it's not enough for me to take the Jets. I'll tell you that. It's very disappointing. Adam Gase has done a horrible job there, but they're not a very good team. They got a well below average defense and one of the worst offenses. They got the worst offense in football. Their offense is the worst in football.
But don't worry. Joe Flacco's on his way. So they got Flacco this week.
Yeah. Well, Flacco will probably maybe see a little time, but there's no upgrade from Flacco to Sam.
Hey, Flacco's starting, right? Am I crazy?
The offensive line's the worst in the NFL. They're
starting.
Yeah, Flacco's the guy. Yeah.
So there's no upgrade there. I mean, it could be. I think it's about even between the two. Flacco's going to be running for his life. Sam Darnold at least has a little bit more athleticism and can run and get out of the pocket. Flacco's not going to be able to get out of the pocket. He's going to get pressured all day long. Arizona's defense too good. They'll be really upset coming off back-to-back losses now. In games they could have won. They could have won both. We could be talking about a 4-0 team right now, and the line would be 10.5 to 13 in that range. So I feel like I'm getting a good line. I also love them as a teaser team. I'll have the Cardinals with the Rams, the Steelers, and the Saints this week. I'll tease all those teams.
I'm also on the Cardinals. I mean, this line was Arizona -8 on the look ahead. Darnold goes out, it's now Arizona -7. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, I know Arizona lost. They didn't look as good as they should have. But the question you have to ask yourself is Sam Darnold elite? And what the market is telling us is not a chance, because this line is basically, like Kenny says, is pricing them even. You know, there was no movement once he was actually announced as out. So they don't care. The Jets are just the worst team in the league, and it doesn't matter who's quarterbacking them. I had them at 9 points under average on my power rating with Darnold. Even if you put no quarterback penalty, I think there's still a value on this line with the Cardinals. They got weird last week. They went to like a horizontal air raid type of offense, and it didn't do them well. They've had issues when they've tried to do that kind of thing in the past. I expect them to attack downfield, because why wouldn't you against the Jets? So if the Jets lost by 9 to a beat up Denver team, how do we expect them to compete anywhere? So yeah, I love the Cardinals here.
I'll take the Cardinals as well. Not one of my best bets, but I'll take them. I just think that they it's back-to-back road games, but that was a disaster last week. I watched that game on tape, and you're right. They just didn't look good. They didn't play very well. I think they're going to bounce back here. The Jets are terrible. Give me the Cardinals as well.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals not as a best bet, but you just can't take the Jets. I mean, and I think there's something to that teaser idea too. Like you could get, so when you do the Saints and the Cardinals in a teaser, I mean, you feel pretty good about that. Home field advantage isn't big. Flacco ain't going to come out and light it. This Cardinals defense is probably like playing pretty well. It's above average maybe. And their games are 4-0 to the under, which leads you to believe they could melt a bunch of clock and force the Jets to try and throw downfield or dink and dunk to Le'Veon Bell. Let's make the Cardinals the first team in the pick six.
The New York Jets are bottom in the NFL in plus minus ATS to the point spread on average. They lose the point spread by 9.6 points
that
per
is
game.
Outrageous.
Yeah. They're almost 10 points off what the betting line is even saying.
But the Cardinals in the parlay, it didn't work out last week. I should have talked you guys out of it. We would have hit it if I like the Panthers, but I went along with the Cardinals. But this week I will back the Cardinals. Colts -1.5 at the Browns. Over under is 47 here, Pete.
Yeah, this one looks funny to me. But I'm going to be guilty of taking the funny side because I'm going to take the Colts. I think their defense is legitimate now. Leonard and Okreke would be interesting to keep an eye on those two. But even so, Okreke's not a great run player, and you know that's what the Browns want to do. So I'm going to take the Colts because of their defense. Those young guys are growing up before our eyes, and they haven't played anybody, so don't get me wrong. They haven't played any good offenses. But I think the Browns are going to have a tough time running it. When that happens, they're going to put more pressure on Mayfield. I'll take the Colts. I think they're going to be good enough on offense. So give me the Colts minus the points. But like I said, this is a little funky. This line looks weird.
Yeah, I want Kenny to go next because I want to hear a strong argument for the Colts, since he's a big believer in the Colts. He made him one of his best bets. So tell me why you
I'm wondering why Pete thinks it looks funny. I guess you must think it's too low.
Yeah, well, I thought it should be like about pick 'em, right? Isn't it what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I was thinking the Colts should be like 3 or something.
That's what I was thinking you were talking about. Why is it only 1 on the Colts side? I'm a big believer right now in Frank Reich. I think he's really done a great job with this organization. He's built it from in the trenches. His offensive line is one of the best in football. His defensive line, you can't run on him. They're just so fundamentally sound. And then adding Phillip Rivers was just like, this is the quarterback that they need. He's going to be a game manager, but he can win a game for you if he has to. If he's got to bring you back from 2 touchdowns, the guy can do it. He can move the ball down the field. So, Cleveland, I've been on him a couple weeks in a row. Was on him against Washington, was on him against Dallas. I don't like the Nick Chubb's out. I think that's a big loss. Even though Kareem Hunt looked good, their third string running back that came in, Johnson looked great. But it still scares me. I think Indianapolis is a better organization. I think there's a big coaching edge, Reich over Stefanski. And defensively, I think the Colts are far better defense. So that's why I'm on Indianapolis here.
Okay, that's not going to talk me out of it. I'm taking the Browns' best bet, plus 1.5. it started at 2.5, you know, and it looks like it's coming down toward pick, so I can see it ending around pick, and Pete will be a lot happier with it around that line. But the Colts were 2.5 at the Bears, and they handled that team. It was a bad offensive team. This offense is not the Bears. They just scored 49 points. I know it was against a bad defense. Indy's been beating up bad teams. I'm not a believer in Rivers. You said that he can come in and be a game manager. Indy's offense is 22nd in points per drive. They're 30th in third down percentage conversion. They're 28th in red zone percentage. None of that is opponent adjusted. So they're doing that against these bad teams. They're just not an explosive offense. They're not somebody that I'm going to trust offensively. That D has been fantastic, but can they handle this Cleveland offensive line? You talked about Johnson, the third string running back, going off. That's a product of that offensive line. They've been monsters in so far this season. Stefanski is doing what he wanted to in that offense with this team, and he has them playing really well. Rivers has been pretty comfortable in the pocket so far, but you play Myles Garrett, that's next level. You know, you're gonna have to handle a whole different type of ball game here when you got that guy coming after you. And the Indy offense ranks 32nd in yards per rush. If the Cleveland D can just focus on stopping the pass and just trust that they're gonna stop this run game that hasn't been playing well, I think they're gonna have success. So I see the Browns winning this one outright. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little higher scoring than we think, a little bit more of a gap than we think.
Interesting on high scoring. Look, I'm going to back the Colts here. I have concerns. Like, I'm just sort of riding the Colts and hoping it works out. But their rush defense is awesome. They're giving up 3.6 yards per carry to opposing defenses. Their defensive line is awesome. And Cleveland's offensive line is playing really well. They upgraded at both the tackle positions, and it is helping them a ton. But one thing stands out to me when looking at this game more than anything, and it's that Baker Mayfield is not good against great defenses. He doesn't play great defense as well. See you, Kenny.
Thanks for having me.
Baker Mayfield in his career has not been good against great defenses. He is not good against elite teams when it comes to covering the spread either. He is 4-10-1 against the spread in his career versus teams with a winning record, worse than the NFL since 2018. He is 2-7-1 against the spread versus teams with multiple games over 500. And Frank Wright, 3-0 as a road favorite since he took over against the spread in non-Jacksonville games. He's 0-3 against Jacksonville somehow. This is a guy who I just think this Colts team is legitimate. They should be scoring more points. They've been settling for short field goals. Give me the Colts to cover. But I will admit that it is a little unnerving. Eagles at the Steelers. Steelers -7 over under 44, Pete.
I'm going to take the Steelers. Back-to-back road games for the Eagles, and yeah, the 49ers, that's a good win for them, even though the 49ers were banged up. But that was Nick Mullins. This is a rested Steelers team. Remember, they kind of practiced last week, but they had their bye. They're at home. I think they're going to light up a bad Eagles defense because they're good enough on the offensive line to block them. So I think Roethlisberger gets it going. I think the Steelers defense is really good. I'll lay the 7. I think this is absolutely a pretty easy pick for me.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles defense has been bad. I think they've been pretty solid all year, so I'll disagree with you there.
The secondary hasn't been.
They're 8th in net yards per pass attempts. They're keeping the completions to shorter completions and making teams work for it. 7th in yards per rush. You got to work down the field. Now, some teams are having success doing that and some aren't. I think the line is right on at 7, so I don't want to pick it against either side. I hear what you're saying with Pittsburgh. I would probably lean that way if I had to take a side. I can't back the Philly offense against this elite Pittsburgh defense with all their injuries, but I'm going to lean toward a low scoring game. I'm a little stronger lean on the under. I'm not going to make it a best bet, but I look to the under 44 because I do think both these defenses are playing really well. But I don't want any part of the spread.
I would go Steelers if I was going to go in a direction here, but it's a lot. I mean, 7 is a lot. The one thing I think we talked about this earlier in the week, maybe or I talked about somebody, is the Eagles defensive line gives me a little bit of pause. Like if they're able to get a real push against the Steelers offensive line, I just don't know how the Eagles score. Like they might not. I mean, Carson Wentz might get knocked out of this game. The Steelers are rushing; they can rush the passer. And they can put some pressure on you. Carson Wentz has been awful. He has like a 26 quarterback rating under pressure this year. He's been very bad.
Would it necessarily be a downgrade if he gets knocked out? I mean, there have been calls for his job.
By the way, RJ, two of those games that they played against Dwayne Haskins and Nick Mullins, just FYI.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins has moments. He had his best game last week, and he got benched.
But yeah,
what are you going to do?
And then Joe Burrow, who's a rookie quarterback. So and I think he's good, but he's still a rookie quarterback. So
I'm just
the legitimate quarterback they played was Jared Goff, and he kind of had a pretty good day against them.
But then who played, dude?
The Eagles.
Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, they had talent on the defensive line. They can rush the passer.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger and look, Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson and Roethlisberger should have big days. If they come out and attack with a short passing game and dump it all over there and force the Eagles to sort of get on their heels, they can get up big, pound the ball, and then just unleash pass rushers on Carson Wentz, and he'll turn the ball over late. I wouldn't back the Eagles here. I would lean Steelers, but it's not a best bet for me or anything like that. All right, so we only have the Cardinals right now. What do we do about that?
You guys are going to have to pick one. Pick one.
Yeah, we could go Texans over. It seemed like Kenny was leaning toward it, but he didn't want
yeah.
it.
Yeah, put the Texans over on it.
Kenny liked the Vikings, so we can't go there.
I like the Vikings, too, so we can't go there.
Yeah, let's see. We can't. So RJ and I'll have to find – let's see.
Cardinals, maybe, if you guys like the Cardinals against the Jets. I think Kenny and I were best bets.
I like the Cardinals.
Cards and Texans over. We need one more. Can't do a two-game parlay.
Wait. Cards, Texans over, and
no, he's right. That was the one he already had in his pocket.
What are the other ones? What are the ones we haven't done yet?
Giants, Cowboys, Cowboys over again.
I'll take that.
RJ.
Oh my God! It's the Giants. Their offense is trash.
They'll score 21 points.
Yeah, I don't know.
What other ones haven't we done?
Chiefs, Raiders, Chiefs minus 13. They won't. I like the Chiefs.
The Raiders there.
I like the Chiefs too.
I like the Raiders there. Bengals, how about the Bengals plus 13? Lamar Jackson banged up.
Joe Burrow's.
Because, you know, if Lamar Jackson doesn't play, that number's going to be, what, 8, 9? 8?
Yeah, I love it at 8, 9.
Yeah. RG3 plays?
That's why we got to lock it in now. Plus, we got the Ravens defense hasn't been great this year.
No. What's the other one? There's got to be another. There's one more, isn't there, that we haven't done?
Rams, Washington, Dolphins, Niners. That's it.
Yeah, I like the Dolphins. I know you guys don't.
I like the Dolphins.
Do you? Do you, RJ?
I wanted to like them. I looked into it a little bit. I actually only looked into it like 5 minutes before we started recording, so I'm not strong either.
Let's do the Bengals. Come on, let's back Burrow. He's a cover machine.
Backdoor Burrow. Come on.
I picked the Ravens. How am I going to take the Bengals?
I mean, I took the Cardinals.
So just do a two-teamer then.
All right, do a two-teamer.
3-1.
Two-teamer. Yep.
Yeah, that's fine.
Unless you want to put a teaser in.
We're not getting, if we didn't have 8 games off the board and games getting moved.
Yeah,
around.
This is sort of tough because we don't have Bills Titans.
Yeah. Who would you have taken in that game?
Titans. Bills. I mean, the Bills. Bills.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So Cardinals minus 7 against the Jets and the Texans over 54.5. That's a 2-team pick 6 podcast.
And the Bills, if they play, let's lock the Bills in too if they play. So okay. Let's say that game goes on. That's our third leg.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything
good.
Under 7.
Right. And anything. I don't care.
Yeah.
42. Yeah. The Titans have practiced at Montgomery Bell Academy for like 2 weeks. All right. That's it. But no, that's not it. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll say goodbye to Pete Prisco now and then take a break. And we come
goodbye.
Back. RJ and I will look at the rest of the games.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul. The designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, let's look at the rest of these games, RJ, starting with a surprising CBS afternoon game, Giants and Cowboys. Is it the Romo Nance game? Do we end up with that?
I'm not sure which one they got put on. I haven't looked at the lineups.
I haven't either.
Might be, though. I mean, Cowboys.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And CBS never gets NFC East games. So it's, you know, kind of intriguing at least. The Cowboys are 9.5-point favorites. The over under is 54. People who are listening know that we just tried to talk you into taking the over. You clearly have no interest. It is Nance and Romo on this game. Fun. The Cowboys over is one of my best bets. I understand your hesitation with the Giants offense. They look terrible, but Jason Garrett is going to want to come into Dallas. He is going to want to flash some offense. He is going to want to remind Jerry Jones that he let him go for Mike McCarthy. This is the Jason Garrett revenge game in like seven different ways. I love the over here. I just think they will score 21 to 28 points, and the Cowboys are going to have to lob up 30 because their defense can't stop anybody.
So Jason Garrett wants to have a good offensive day here to show the Cowboys, right? Is what you're saying? So how's that different?
The ball with Wayne Gallman.
How's that different than the last 10 years? He's had better weapons in place and he's wanted to have good offensive days. You can be
a terrible boyfriend for 3 years, break up with somebody. And then like you see him again, you're like, you want him to think that you're doing well. You know what I mean? Like it's fine. Like he wants Jerry to remember that like things were great.
I leaned to the Giants because I like the Garrett revenge angle. So I would lean Giants plus 9.5, but I don't have anything strong in this game. I mean, I can't take the Giants. They're last in DVOA on offense. They're last in points per drive. They're just not doing anything offensively. You would think that Shepard and Slayton could have a good game. I think Slayton's a nice little sleeper DFS play, you know, against this bad Cowboys defense, but you know, you need to see it before you can just assume that the Giants are going to score in the 20s, and they might have to because this Cowboys offense can score, you know, whatever it wants a lot of the time. I can't take Dallas though. Their D's gotten steamrolled the last 3 weeks. Covering 9.5 with this defense is atrocious. You know, Giants could backdoor cover this pretty easily. So, you know, I know you have a best bet in this game. I couldn't touch it.
No, I mean, I think the over is a best bet. I mean, look, they have the Giants have been terrible. They haven't scored more than 16 points on offense, but they played the Steelers, Bears, 49ers, and Rams. They haven't played like crap defenses.
No, those are good teams. I mean, I'm not going to. And those are four of the teams that actually are playing well defensively out of what, six? Because it's been scoring.
Well, I say Steelers are third in DVOA, 49ers are sixth, Bears are seventh, and who's the other team? The Giants are actually 11th in DVOA.
Rams? Did you say Rams?
Rams are 15th.
So they didn't play the Colts, so they haven't proven themselves yet to me.
That's correct.
As if they're harping on the
terrible, terrible team that hadn't played the Colts yet. But I think the Giants keep it within a score because they can backdoor it or they get a lead and the Cowboys score late and win the game. I don't think Dallas has beaten anybody by 14 points. It's just their defense is too bad. I actually like, and we were talking about this on the DFS show, I like going Zeke Elliott and then bringing it back with Slayton and Daniel Jones and Evan Ingram and DFS. Like nobody's going to be on that stack because everybody's going to want to be on the Cowboys. But
yeah, I also worry about the Cowboys defensive line. You know, it's been playing well. They can get some pass rush. Those Giants tackles aren't ready, you know, for prime time right now. So if Giants are passing, looking to catch up in this game, I don't necessarily think they're scoring touchdowns because Alden Smith pins his ears back and he starts, you know, chasing Daniel Jones down and ends some drives that way. So just because that Cowboys defense has been bad, still got to block them. And if the Giants can't do that, it could get ugly.
That's fair. Bengals at Ravens, another game we mentioned there, trying to find a best bet. I got the Bengals as a best bet at plus 13. Look, I bet against Joe Burrow with that Browns game on Thursday night. I'm done with it. Give me Joe Burrow to cover until he shows that he's not going to cover. And this is a perfect spot for him to backdoor. If you were watching that Washington-Baltimore game, Baltimore got up and took its foot off the gas and knew that it didn't have to keep scoring. I'm not saying they'll do the same thing because I think they have to respect Cincinnati a little bit more, but I think they'll get a 30 and they pulled Lamar Jackson early in the fourth quarter. He's got a knee injury. I mean, you're not going to let him sit out there and run all day. So I think this is prime for Joe Burrow to get the ball down 14 or down 17, come down and throw a touchdown pass with like 2 minutes left. They'll get the onsides and Baltimore takes knees and you cover the 13. This is a no brainer for me.
Yeah, if you look at the mentality coming into this game, the Ravens got right last week. They beat a bad team. This is just another, you know, bad team on their schedule. The team that had the number one pick last year. I don't think they can take them too seriously. For the Bengals, this is circle the matchup here. This is the team you have to beat to prove yourself. So they're going to come in hungry, looking to play well. Market's been selling since he's short. They're 3-1 against the spread last year, this year. They've been 10-5 against the spread in their 15 game, straight up non-win streak. I'd say non-win. I can't say loss because that's high. But you know, they play on the road and they cover even if they don't win games. That Baltimore defense, I said, I'm not a huge fan of them. They've been playing quite well. It's expected. They're 14th versus the pass in DVOA. So maybe Burrow does shine. Maybe he does get in the back door. 13 is a lot of points. I mean, Baltimore offense in theory should blow up, but Lamar managing a knee injury. So if he does play, they say he's expected to play. If he does play, you know, maybe he's not 100% running around on that knee. I mean, it's a big deal for a quarterback that has a lot of his value with his legs to have a knee injury. So I think the Bengals can definitely cover here. I wanted to make it a best bet, but you know how the Ravens pound these bad teams and they can cover, you know, kind of at will.
They didn't tell you they didn't do it last week against Washington. They could have.
Right. I'm just, you know, I'm still thinking of last year, all of what they did last year. So right. I'm only a strong lean on the Bengals. Didn't quite make them a best bet, but I was really close. I think that was my next one that I would have made a best bet.
Lamar Jackson, 5-10 against the spread in his career as a home starter, which is surprising. 10-2-1 on the road and just 3-3-1 as a double digit favorite. In other words, they just don't really bury these teams. Like the Bengals have a bad defense. I mean, you know, J.K. Dobbins could rip off a 78-yard touchdown run. You know, and when like they're trying to bleed out the clock and all of a sudden you're down 21 points. Don't get me wrong. It's not, nothing's a lock, but I'll take the Bengals as a best bet plus 13. I'll flip it on the other side. The Raiders are at the Chiefs and the Chiefs are minus 13. If this game happens, there's a lot of COVID concerns surrounding this entire matchup. The over under a robust 56. Andy Reid owns the Raiders against the spread and. So I will take RJ with the Chiefs as the best bet. What say you?
Yeah, I'm leaning the other way. 13 is just too much for me. I know the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL right now. They're the number one team in my power ratings. I still think this line's a couple points too high. I would lean to the Raiders. I would lean to the under too. But we'll start with the Raiders. It's a brutal spot for the Chiefs. They're coming off a rescheduled Monday game they weren't supposed to play. They have Thursday night football versus the 4-0 Bills next. This can't be a spot where they're concentrating when they don't even know when they'll play. Maybe this game gets moved to Monday or Tuesday. The Bills game gets moved to Saturday. Just a lot of chaos going on and they don't know what to expect. I mean, for them to come up and play at their best, is what you need to have to cover a spread when you're 13 point favorites against a team that I think has actually been pretty solid. That offense is fourth in points per drive, 10th in DVOA. They've just been done in by fumbles. They have six turnovers this season, no interceptions. It's all been fumbles and just not, you know, protecting the ball very well. Kansas City's been weak against the run. We know that's what the Raiders want to do, run the ball with Josh Jacobs. So I think they'll feed him and they'll be able to stay in this game. Vegas has a bye this week. We're talking about circling games. This is the game you circle when you're Vegas. You know, you got to go in and play well against the Chiefs. You got a bye next week. They got embarrassed by the Chiefs last year. They'll want to come out and play strong here. I don't expect much from the defense. So I think this is more about scoring points and the total does expect it's going to be a shootout at 56. The under is 11-2 since 2015 when the Chiefs are favored by double digits though. So these type of games is where they go under. So I would lean to the under just based on that. Cause if you think the Chiefs are going to roll, then the under is going to be your play. But my stronger plays with the Raiders, I think they keep this closer.
All right. Add the under, Devo. It's one of my best bets as well. Cause I agree. Vegas has gone under in 14 straight divisional road games. That is wild. They don't want to pass the ball a ton. Henry Ruggs is going to play. Darren Waller's still up in the air, but I think as much as they want to get Henry Ruggs involved, they're going to try and pound the ball, with Josh Jacobs. This is actually a Chiefs defense that is top five in terms of defensive DVOA. They're fifth best in the NFL. Their pass defense is fourth best in the NFL. Derek Carr is going to have to dink and dunk. The Chiefs are willing to run the ball with Clyde Edwards either. And I think that they will, do so. I think they'll score early. Often the Raiders can't slow anybody down and the Chiefs get up and put this one away. They'll win by 14 to 17 points. There's absolutely a chance that Derek Carr gets down the field and has a chance to, you know, spread F me late, but I'll take the Chiefs minus 13 here. And two more games left. The Rams minus 7.5 at the Washington football team over under 45. I got nothing here. What do you got?
So I teased my teaser at the very top. Now we're going to finish it off. Teasing the Rams down to 1.5. So my teaser is going to be Rams 1.5 and Saints 1.5. Kyle Allen ain't fixing this Washington offense. You know, you've seen Kyle Allen play over there in Carolina. He won his first four games. Yeah. And then we saw what happened after that. So I feel like he's keeping the seat warm for Alex Smith. I feel like they want to get Alex Smith in there eventually, kind of complete that turnaround. But I don't think Kyle Allen is fixing anything. The Washington D feels like it's been solid. They're number four in DVOA, but they've allowed 30 plus points in three straight games. So it's like, like, at some point you got to keep people off the scoreboard. The Rams had the ugliest game they could possibly play last week, and they beat another bad team by 8 points. So you're only favoring them by 7.5. So you get a similar type of performance here. I think they could still cover the 7.5, even if they play poorly. I think Rams are a legit playoff team, so I got to back them against an awful team here. I would lean to Rams minus 7.5. I think that's a solid play, but tease them down to 1.5 with some of these other, you know, favorites in that 7.5 range, and you got to love it.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. And I don't think Kyle Allen will give them – I wouldn't want to take the Rams straight up at minus 7.5. I think that's – maybe it's asking you to take the Washington football team. It's like, ooh, 7 in the hook with Kyle Allen? I guess when you say it out loud, it's not quite as intriguing. But it's a stay away from me. If I had to take something, it would be Washington. I just think there'll be a little – you know, guy gets benched. Just go a little energy. Kyle Allen knows the playbook. Scott Turner will be motivated to make Kyle Allen look good. The Rams, you know, didn't let, you know, let the Giants hang around. So I will,
Let's talk about knows the playbook. The most overrated phrase of the last week. Yeah. We heard that over and over again with Brian Hoyer. We saw how that helped out. I don't know.
He did know the playbook.
He knows the playbook. You could pass.
You know how many timeouts you had.
We'll sit you down. We'll give you a quiz. You'll definitely pass that test. Get on the field. Let's see what you can do.
All right. Fair enough. Look, I don't like this game at all. I think it falls pretty close to it, but I would take Washington if I had to take something. Probably lean towards the under too here. Washington don't want to score. Rams don't want to score.
Yeah, I could see the under. I think the Rams always have offensive potential with Sean McVay, but I don't think Washington's going to score much. So 45 is kind of a lot if you don't expect one team to do much pulling to that over. You'd have to be, what, 42-3, you know?
31-14 gets it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to expect much out of Washington to
21-10, you're feeling very comfortable late. Dolphins at 49ers, 49ers minus 9, over under 49.5. I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo is back at practice, so it looks like he'll be a go. I actually think that favors Miami in the sense of I think it'll be really conservative with Jimmy Garoppolo being a little banged up.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, we were talking trash on Mullins earlier, coming off that bad game. That's one of the reasons why Pete wanted to discount the Eagles' performance, because they got to play Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins has had some games where he's played really well. So it's not like you can just – he comes in the lineup and you can expect you're getting a zero out of him. He's not Brian Hoyer at this point in Brian Hoyer's career. Sorry to Brian Hoyer, but that was just an ugly performance. Garoppolo being back, you know, I kind of want to lean to the Niners. But Miami is 12th in percentage drives to end in the score in 24th in points. That's a huge disconnect. That you got, you're going down there kicking field goals. You saw it against Seattle. I'm sitting there screaming at the television.
Oh, my God, a 17-12 kick?
I didn't have it either way, but I'm like, what are you doing? How do you think you're going to beat Seattle kicking field goals with Russell Wilson on the other side of the field? Sure enough, they kicked to go to 17-15, and then it was game over after that. So good job, guys. You got those field goals under your belt. Jason Sanders heading for a Pro Bowl appearance for the 2-14 Dolphins or whatever they're going to end up being. So this is a long trip for Miami, though. You know, San Fran getting Jimmy back, probably going to cover San Fran, but I don't love it considering how many other injuries they have, so I'm just going to stay away.
Yeah, so stay away from me too. I would take the Dolphins plus the 9, I think, just because I think Fitzpatrick will take him through the back door. But if you're hoping for that, it's not really what you want to be. As we mentioned, San Francisco, top 10 defense by DVOA, even without, you know, Nick Bosa, Richard Sherman's back. Don't mess with this game.
And I wonder about Fitzpatrick's mentality too, because we're at the point of this season where they're asking every week who the starter is, and they didn't want to say it right away. And then it came out as Fitzpatrick. So, as a quarterback, it seems like it probably wouldn't matter to him. He's a journeyman. He's played in so many places. He's just going to, you know, take advantage of the opportunities he has. But he's looking over his shoulder. He knows that, you know, sooner or later is going to be his time to sit. Is that going to affect his performance, you know, a lot in one way or the other? Maybe he has a huge game because he thinks this is his last hurrah. Maybe he doesn't because he thinks he's going to get better. So I don't know what to make of that.
Right, exactly. He could go any way. You have no idea which direction. It would be the great or awful. And Fitzmagic, too, like we've seen him run out of gas. Early, like in the, around this time of a season, remember when he was with the Buccaneers and he was making, you know, just making plays happen and wearing this. And then it's like, this is going to continue forever. And then sure enough, crashes in about week 5. There's two games with no spreads right now. Bills at Titans, which I mean, I don't know how this gets played, and Pats at Broncos. Thoughts on either of these games? So Tennessee had more positive tests on Thursday afternoon, which means they basically have to go, I mean, just be completely clean for Friday and Saturday. As a Bills fan, would you even, do you want the Bills playing the Titans?
Like, no.
Do you even want to run the risk of like Josh Allen getting corona and derailing this, what looks like an incredible season?
No, because they had positive tests for like, what, 8 or 9 straight days, yeah. One day without them. And now they have a couple more. That isn't, you know, you can't trust that these last two are going to be the last gasp. It could have crop up with other people. So yeah, I don't want the Bills getting infected and screwing up their season. Now they're having to miss a couple games. Maybe they have to forfeit. People are talking about, is there going to be a forfeit? That would be terrible, you know, to have to decide some of these games on forfeit. Maybe they just cancel games and have an uneven schedule. But you know, it's turning into a mess with Titans. I wanted to play the Bills anyway, even if there was no you know, worry about COVID at all. If it was just two healthy teams straight up, let's go play, I would take the Bills. They've looked better than the Titans. Titans. Yep. Feel a little bit fraudulent to me at 3-0. They're winning these games by a couple points each time. I know Titans fans are going to hate me for that, but I just don't believe in this team with that defense. So I would go the Bills here if they do manage to get it played. We talked about throwing them in the parlay if they do play, but I don't think that's going to happen. And we're pretty aligned on that.
Yeah. Pats Broncos. This is a weird one because, and this speaks to the Bills thing too, because you have Cam Newton test positive on Saturday. That news gets out like Saturday at 11 o'clock. Obviously, we do emergency podcast, do a bunch of HQ stuff. Sunday, Monday, everybody's clear. Everybody flies to KC on two different planes. The guys who've been in contact with Cam on one plane, the other guys on another. They all go and play a football game together. Come back, and Stephon Gilmore tests positive on Wednesday. And like the last shot is him like hugging Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, we just don't know anything about this virus. And we've been saying that since the get-go. Like nobody knows entirely how it's transmitted. Nobody knows entirely what the timeline is for positivity of test. And that's why with Bills Titans, like, oh, cool, you're clean on Friday and Saturday. Well, what happens if 42 tests pop up on Sunday? Like, you just don't know. And the same, you know, with Pats Broncos, you know, if you're the Broncos, do you really want the Pats coming? You don't, like, you just saw a case where they went one test, everybody clear, they play a team, come back, and somebody tested positive. Now, Vikings Titans played. Titans are loaded with positive tests. Vikings have no positive tests. I mean, it's crazy. Nobody knows. So I guess I can see where the Patriots play this week, but it's a tough spot.
Yeah. You say nobody knows about this virus. It's a process. We're learning more as we go. And right. The NFL kind of put this plan in place, I think, not really knowing what they were doing for the most part. And they just kind of hoping for the best. And now this is the reality we're living in. We have to kind of adapt on the fly. And they knew that was the case. If they had a solid plan in place, a good plan B, you know, that's what would be enacted, but that's not what the case is. So we do know some stuff though. We know that the incubation period is longer than a couple days. So just because you test negative, everybody tests negative for a few days doesn't mean that you don't have it in your system and you can't spread it. You know, we've seen, you know, 3 to 7 days, it's still popped up with people. So, when you play these games, obviously you're putting, you know, seven games in between these football games. You really don't know what's going to happen. Everything's kind of a risk at this point. So we just kind of be as safe as we possibly can. We'll see if the Pats have any more tests, but you know, it really does seem like a situation where we're going to start seeing a couple more tests crop up on Friday, Saturday, and they're going to have to delay the game, push it back, do something for it. And I don't know, you know, I can't give you a pick in this game because it depends on who's playing quarterback. There was some talk that Cam might be able to play in this test. You know, maybe that they think that he's out of the incubation period and out of the contagious period. I don't know how that makes sense. If he doesn't play, who starts there? Because I don't think he can go back to Brian Hoyer. So I guess you're starting Jared Stidham. He didn't look great, but he had, you know, he did made a couple of plays. Yeah. But so what do you do there? So it's just like a complete mess. Broncos on the other side have Brett Rippon going against, or maybe Drew Lock going against, Pat's defense. So who knows?
I think without Stephon Gilmore.
Right. So I think you're probably playing the under in this game if it gets played. But, I think
for picks pools, I would say to put in the Patriots because I think that the possible outcomes probably favor them. And Belichick annihilates young quarterbacks 25 years or younger. And both Brett Rippon and Drew Lock are 25 years or younger. That's a tough spot, even without Stephon Gilmore. He'll throw some stuff at him they've never seen. And I think you can see the Patriots up big and just pounding the ball with Damian Harris late and running away with this one. So that would be my take on it.
And I don't think the Pats are panicking because they're 2-2 and the Bills are 4-0. The Bills have played nobody really. I mean, it hasn't been that tough of a schedule. Their toughest game was the Raiders, and the Raiders came to that game playing well. And they handled them pretty well. I mean, it was a closer game than the scoreboard indicated. But, you know, the Pats have gotten their games out of the way against the Seahawks. And
if the Bills had played the Pats schedule and the Pats had played the Bills schedule, is it 4-0 and 2-2 flipped around?
The records are probably the same reversed. So, exactly. So I don't think the Pats are panicking. I don't think the Bills are counting their chickens and saying, we're going to win this division. It obviously looks great. If you're a Bills fan, you're on the right track, but still a lot of season to go. So, yeah, the Pats are really looking long-term, I would think, in this sense.
All right, that's it. That's the show. Best bets. Let's recap really quickly. When we got to do our, we just got to tell everybody what your best bets are. Kenny's best bets: the Falcons, the Colts, the Cardinals, the Vikings, and the Saints. By the way, you can go to Instagram.com/picksixpod and we post all of these up there on one single post if you want to do them. Pete's best bets. The, ooh, only took four, Pete. The Texans and Jags over. Oh no, sorry, five. The Texans and Jags over. The Steelers. I was wrong. He has six. The Chargers and Saints over. And the Falcons. There were two from two games there. You'll forgive me. RJ has the Jacksonville, Houston over. Carolina, Cleveland, Arizona, Seattle, and a teaser with the Rams and the Saints. My best bets. Why does my browser keep this computer? I wish we could talk to somebody at CBS and get me a new computer or any technology, because my thing keeps, everything I own keeps freezing up. Thanks for nothing. I got a Saints minus, I got a ton this week. Saints minus 7.5. Panthers, give me the Texans and the Texans over. I will take the Seahawks. I will take the Colts. I'll take the Cowboys over, the Bengals plus 13, and the Chiefs under. Oh, my goodness. What could go wrong? That's the show. Thanks for listening. RJ, is always a pleasure, buddy. Love you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.